Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. End times, Saints, end times. Message here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to back up 3 verses into chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Those who are Christ are going to reign with Him and be in His presence and under His perfect bliss-filled care for all eternity. Amen. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. You know, that instruction has never been more relevant than it is now to us in the Western world. We see the enemy gaining ground and prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes, looking straight down the barrel at the return of Jesus Christ, if you will. Those who are doing evil and not God's will are the ones that are actually under divine judgment. Verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the next verse after the one we just read in the latter part of 1 Thessalonians 4, says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Notice the believers at Thessalonica were familiar with the prophetic utterances of Scripture. So, of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. In other words, they already had an understanding of what was to come. Kind of reminds us of what we read of the children of Issachar. It says, which were the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. So we continue here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I love to read this chapter often, and I think you'll see why. And many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with it. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, what does that mean? We see that more than once in Scripture. What does it mean that the Lord cometh as a thief in the night? So when the Lord says that He is going to come as a thief in the night, it's certainly not speaking of Him being a thief so much as the alarmed nature of it, the unexpected nature of it, that He's coming when least expected. We see this throughout the New Testament. Jesus said, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Notice, an hour when you think not, or in other words, like a thief in the night. What is it about the thief in the night? Well, the thieves, most crime happens at night under the cover of darkness, and they hit their victims when they're least expecting it. Amen. That's simply Jesus means, and what Paul is meaning. The Holy Spirit is communicating through the Apostle Paul here in verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And the day of the Lord, which we'll talk about a little bit here, is not a 24-hour day here. It's the day of the Lord, spoken of in Scripture, refers to the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. See, there's a new day coming. There is a new world order coming, which Jesus Christ alone will be the great capital G governor. Amen. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. Revelation 16, 15, behold, I come as a thief. Jesus is speaking here, red letters, behold, I come as a thief. In other words, I'm going to catch, unfortunately, catch a lot of people off guard when least expected. Notice the next verse here in 1 Thessalonians 5, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Notice peace and safety. Apparently there's going to be a peace and safety across the world, and we must know that's not going to come by righteous means, but as we see now, there are lies being told. The Nazis told the people that it was for their own safety, they told the Jews, that they were going to take them away to this facility. They lied to them, and they took them away to the facility of the gas chamber, locked them inside, and killed them. That's what you have now. You have demonic frauds in the government. Communism is what we call it. And they're telling you to do things for your own safety. Most of the people I know see right through it, but there are so many gullible dupes out there who are willingly blind, because knowing the Lord, first of all, is available to all of us. And so is much information that completely exposes these lies of the devil. We see in verse 2 and 3 that the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. Again, let me finish Revelation 16:15. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed," who's blessed? "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." Now, this speaks of walking without the righteous robe of Christ wrapping you up. And there are many who are waxing cold, and that goes along right here with this. "Blessed is he that watches," those that don't fall asleep, "and keepeth his garments." Keep the righteous, keep wrapped up, stay wrapped up in the righteousness of Christ. Somebody says, how do you do that? Well, you abide in Christ, John 15. 1 John 1:7, you walk in the light as he is in the light, and thereby you have fellowship one with another. God requires your participation, that you be engaged in an abiding relationship with him. Somebody says, well, but brother, I've sinned before. You know what? That's why the blood of Christ was shed. That's why we have 1 John 1:9, confess your sins before him and move forward, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I got good news for you and me and every other honest, true believer, and that's that the way we finish is more important than the way we started. Your past is your past, beloved. Let it go. That was Philippians 3:13-14. 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin." So as you walk with Christ in the light of truth, being honest with God, completely authentic, with a sincere heart, broken and repentant at any time needed, the blood of Christ, you're going to be confessing your sins, not denying them or ignoring them or covering them, but confessing them. And the blood of Jesus Christ is going to continually cleanse you from sin as you abide, John 15, in Christ. Amen. You will not walk naked. You will walk with the garments of his righteousness, which we read about several times in the book of Revelation. So Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. And it's going to be a time, during a time, apparently, as we see here in verse 2 and 3 of 1 Thessalonians 5, our chapter for today, that they're going to be saying peace and safety. You know, people doing life, you know, just like nothing's impending. Nothing's like, there is no God. You know, eating and drinking and making merry. And it's the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things Jesus spoke about that choke the word of God out. That coincides exactly right here. They're going about, they're given in marriage, they're eating and drinking. They're living like there is no judgment. A time of peace and safety, while in reality, sudden destruction is coming upon them. Beloved, there's nothing more important than you remaining at the feet of Jesus, seeking the face of the great bridegroom like a wise virgin believer instead of a foolish virgin believer. In fact, the wise virgins stayed in fellowship with the bridegroom. They anticipated their marriage to him and therefore never took their eyes off of him, and therefore their vessels, which is your temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit, you, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, stayed full of the love of the great bridegroom, the oil of his presence, the sweet smell of his presence. And when he came to marry those 10 brides, those 5 wise brides who remained close to the bridegroom intimately through seeking him and spending time with him, they were immediately accepted into his presence. That represents the true body of Christ, those who endured to the end, they will be saved into eternal glory with Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible speaks of not only initial, but final salvation. We talk a lot about that on this website, safeguardyoursoul.com, because we're not going to lie to people. We're going to give you and disclose to you, or endeavor to do so, the whole counsel of God's word, which includes repenting and receiving Christ initially, but also enduring to the end. Jesus said you have to endure to the end to be saved. Now, I'm sorry, please explain to me why Jesus didn't mean exactly what he said. And that's taught throughout the scriptures, Old and New Testament. Jesus and all of his apostles taught that you must abide, you must continue. Jesus said if you don't abide, that means continue and remain in him, you're going to be cast into the fire. John chapter 15, verse 6. I'm sorry, are you calling the Son of God a liar? How is it that you could still believe that you're eternally secure because you had one time of initial salvation? Now, that's where it starts, but that's not where it ends. You may be a king's kid, but you're not home yet. You better be like a wise virgin believer. You better get away from those frauds, every one of them, that's telling you that you're once saved, always saved. That's exactly all it takes to become lukewarm, and all it takes to go to hell after you're saved is to be lukewarm. Again, the Son of God, Revelation 3:15-16, is going to spew out of his mouth, going to reject. What happens when you vomit? That's what he's talking about. That's the illustration there. What happens when you vomit? Your body is rejecting something. You see, Jesus is going to reject out of his body all who are lukewarm, just like the five foolish virgins. They were lukewarm toward the bridegroom. How many men do you know are going to marry a woman that they got engaged to, and yet before the marriage, the woman's, she's too busy with her own life to even tend to him and to call him and to communicate with him and to show affection. And he's going to see that. Even a sinful man is not going to go on and go through with that wedding that was planned. No one with sanity is going to do such. The same would be vice versa, ladies. If you're engaged to a man and he's not absolutely enthralled with you, if he can live without you, why would you still go through with the marriage? That's the illustration Jesus gives in the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25:1-13. Let me say it again because I want you to get this in your heart and go read this for yourself. You see, that's what this message, all of the messages on this site and ministry are about, is helping you to realize your need to seek God, to get in his word, to not depend on a ministry or a man or a 1 hour or 2 hour circus we call church on Sunday morning. Stop it. Repent. Come out from among them and follow Jesus daily. Amen. If you're going to heaven, you're going to go God's way, and God's way is the cross. To daily deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. So listen to what we read in Matthew 24:10-13 on this regard of enduring to the end, and how sudden destruction is going to come upon many. It's going to catch them unawares, as we read in other places in Scripture. He's going to return like a thief in the night only and take them off guard only because they were sleeping. They fell asleep on the Son of God. They weren't alive in Christ, serving him daily. They slumbered and slept like the five foolish virgins, and they were shut out of the eternal kingdom of Christ. Matthew 24:10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Notice many is always associated with false prophets, false leaders. Never, not once in the scripture do we read of many true prophets. So we must conclude by deduction that most in leadership pretending to represent Christ are false prophets. It's very clear. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And you know, that iniquity, as in conjunction with what we're reading in 1 Thessalonians 5, is going to be under the cover of peace and safety, a time of peace in the earth preceding sudden destruction, quote unquote. So verse 13, and finally out of Matthew 24:10-13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And notice what is also transpiring. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You know, recently In fact, just recently, it occurred to me that in the context that while some are waxing cold, many are waxing cold. Yes, he said the love of many, notice. Have you also, like myself, seen people who once served the Lord drop out and become cold? I sure have. Wow. I've got a message on Safeguard Your Soul called Four Preachers Who No Longer Serve the Lord, or something like that. Just put in the number four preachers. That'll give you an example of four people I personally know who no longer serve the Lord. They don't seek and serve the Lord, and yet they once preached the gospel. This is a reality. We read about it in Scripture, and we're seeing it all around us. So you must make a decision to have root in yourselves and assure that this is not going to be you. Verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom, all while folks have fallen away, there's still a remnant, hallelujah, and they are preaching the gospel, and it's going throughout the world. And now we're seeing that in a large way, this is happening through technology. Now, you know, there's a lot of Bible prophecy that could not be understood till now. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, saints, info@safeguardyoursoul.com. But it seems to me that this gospel of the kingdom is being preached to all nations, as Jesus foretold in verse 14 of Matthew 24, the great last days chapter of Matthew. And then shall the end come. You know, it's such a, I had like glorious, blessed burst of joy this week and seeing a lot of people on one specific social media platform that were absolutely preaching the gospel. And you know, I'm very critical, and I believe rightly so, with warrant, if you will, of a lot of the flowery, you know, tickle your ears, God's getting ready to bless you, and at no conditions, and not giving people the balance of Bible truth, not calling for repentance, not preaching on hell, not preaching on return of Jesus, not preaching on the necessity of the crucified life, the cross, not preaching on this, the necessity of personal holiness, etc. You know, but I tell you, there was one day I checked this one platform the ministry is on just simply to spread the word of God, and was just overwhelmed at the people. Even one brother that I've never seen preach the gospel, I've ministered to him before, it's a wonderful brother from what I know, been a friend of his, not real close to him, but he was declaring the word of God, and I encouraged him to continue. Hallelujah. So while during a time of peace and safety, apparently, the Lord is going to break through and return like a thief in the night and catch many off guard. Verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. They're in the light. Amen. Verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. That's what we've been talking about here. As do others, but let us watch and be sober. See, Jesus said to watch and pray. Remember our Lord's teachings. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want you to memorize that verse, Matthew 26:41, to handwrite it. It's important to still handwrite. Something happens when you handwrite something on an index card. I like to carry them around, keep them where I'm going to be every day. Put some in my little travel bag, you know, the attaché bag, as a little side pocket. I always slip the scripture verses I have written down with reference into that little pocket when I travel. I also keep them in front of me, in front of the mirror, so when I'm shaving or brushing my teeth, I'm also reading more scripture. Hallelujah. Verse 7, I want to encourage you to nourish your hearts. Nourish your hearts in the Word of God daily. Do it militantly. Well, brother, I don't feel, do it anyway. See, that's what the foolish version said. Oh, well, I don't feel like, you know, I don't have time to give attention to the bridegroom. Yeah, they fell away too, didn't they? Right? So Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. See, anybody not watching, vigilantly seeking the Lord and watching for the Lord to come, purifying himself even as he is pure, 1 John 3:3, I'm sorry, in light of and in joyful expectation of his return, is going to fall away. You've got to become vigilant. You are in a war, and that war is over the battlefield of your mind and heart and body. And it's only by keeping Christ's word drilling in the, I've never used that word, but you know what I mean. I mean, aggressively filling your mind and heart. I mean, one brother just got saved recently. He called me the other day and said, man, he had been in the Word 4 hours that day. This man is doing what we read in Ephesians 5:15, I believe it is, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Amen. Good memory verse. Redeeming, buying back the time for catching up with lost time, making up for lost time, redeeming the time. Redeem, to redeem, means to buy back. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We must take this vigilant stand if we're going to expect to be with Christ. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be sober, be vigilant. Look up that word and study it. Be vigilant, for your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, amen. Are you walking in the light, beloved? 1 John 1:7, right? Walk in the light as he is in the light. But let us who are of the day, walking in the daylight, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And for an help, don't grow bitter. Walk in faith and walk in love. Faith worketh by love. Galatians 5:6. For an helmet and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That's God's will. He saved you initially to save you forever. That's his will. But you never lose your personal will. You never lose your opportunity, or your choice, your decision, your, what is the word, choose you this day whom you will serve. You never lose your free moral agency or your free will to choose. How could a relationship be a relationship of love and faith if it didn't include choice? Well, it couldn't. Anybody who says you don't have a free will is absolutely delusional at best. That's what the Calvinist frauds teach. Verse 10, who died for us, Jesus died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. That reminds us of the fellowship we must have, according to the book of Hebrews, even so, and especially as you see the day of Christ approaching, right? Amen. Hebrews 3, verse 13. So let's move through this chapter, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Know those good elders that are there to help you. Let me say this. Elders are not standing over you. They're among you. 1 Peter 5:1-6. We have the modern church is not set up correctly in many ways. And that's not our message today. But remember, they're among you. They labor among you. They're not perfect, but they have walked with Christ longer than most and learned some things by learning the word and things they've done right and at times things they've done wrong. They're not some special breed of character who needs to reign over you like the Roman cult's model of the clergy reigning over the laity. That was never God's design. So let's esteem them very highly for their works' sake, the Apostle Paul said, and know them. Amen. Pray for them daily, those elders over you. Listen, let's get rid of the church, Sunday morning church building model. This is the kingdom of Christ, and it expands his whole earth. This is a spiritual thing. It doesn't mean you have to be in the presence of somebody and under their teaching on Sunday morning to be an elder in your life that's helping you to grow with Christ. They're watching for your soul, amen, and they're feeding you the pure word of God. Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17. So, brethren, we beseech to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Overseers, Peter calls elders. They're under shepherds. They serve under the great shepherd of the sheep. They oversee your life. They don't control or force anything. You have to choose to serve the Lord. But they're there to guide you and help you and watch for your soul through praying for you and giving you the whole counsel of God's word. Acts chapter 20, as Paul did, as he disclosed the full contents of the Holy Scriptures, or of the word of God to the Ephesians, and admonish you. Sometimes they rebuke you and admonish you. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine as you preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2-3. All right, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 5, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. If for no other reason, for their work's sake. You may not like all the elders around. You may have somewhat, at this point, a conflict with an elder, you know, and his personality or something, but esteem them highly for their work's sake and pray for them. They're growing in the grace of Christ just like you are. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. There it is. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. We must pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. See, prayer should not just be we should have a prayer time, but prayer must become a lifestyle, a prayer life, a lifestyle of prayer. Amen. And that begins, I believe, with the cornerstone of waking up and seeking God in the morning, as we see so often in Scripture taught, seeking His face in His Word and in prayer. And we see Jesus teaching about the prayer closet, entering in, getting alone with God. And He that you speak to and commune with in private is going to reward you publicly. Matthew 6:6. Verse 18, as we come in for a close, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And Lord, we pray that you would cause us and help us to develop, Lord, to cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. Every good thing that we have has come from you, Lord. And we thank you for what we already have. Even though we're asking for something more in different areas, Lord, you invited us and instructed us to do so. But we do pray, would you thank you for what we already have? Amen. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove or test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now, boy, that's a mouthful right here of divine truth. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't despise prophesying. That's pretty, we got to be careful, because it's easy to do now. There's so many prophesiers, as some call it. They're lying and acting like they're prophesying, prophesiers. But don't despise prophesying, because all of them aren't of the devil, even though today in this Bethel cult, New Apostolic Reformation cult, I wouldn't have anything to do with it. That's demonic. Those people are absolutely, they're just strange, put it lightly, and they're misusing the things of God. So notice how these go together, verse 20 and 21. Despise not prophesyings, prove, there you go, test all things, hold fast that which is good. Test all things, divide the truth from the error, and hold fast or keep that which is good. Test all things. Don't just take somebody that says and pretends to be prophesying at their word. There are many who prophesy as the prophets exposed. Jeremiah 23:16, and this is an example. He says they prophesy out of the deceit of their own hearts. Be careful, saints. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah 23:16 is one of these warnings. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain, playing you, man. They are using you for their own agenda. They make merchandise of you, in other words. Then he says they speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So false prophets include very much those who prophesy falsely. That's why we have the more sure word of prophecy, the written word of God, so that we will never be deceived if we keep our eyes on the Lord through His word and by His Spirit. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That is a truth that speaks for itself, saints. We should memorize that scripture and always be thinking, how is this going to look? You know, I don't think we need to be paranoid about it, but, you know, be careful that what we're doing is not looking evil, appearing as evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Verse 23, and the very God of peace, don't you love this one, sanctify you wholly, with a wholly, completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a great prayer to pray for others and for yourself. Notice he always, I hear a lot of people preaching, they say, we're body, soul, and spirit. You know, the scripture, for a reason, by divine design, does not say we're body, soul, and spirit. It says we're spirit, soul, and body. Notice the order and the order of importance. Spirit and soul and body. I don't say it any other way, personally, for a reason. This is how it's stated in Scripture, that is, in the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people, the King James Bible. So divine priority is put on the spirit, then the soul, then the body. Your body is nearly an earth suit temporarily while you're on earth, containing your spirit and your soul. All right, so we can pray for each other and for ourselves that God would sanctify us wholly. Spirit, soul, and body. I mean, I love praying this over people that so many people email or call, and I say, man, I'm just broken. There's so many words. I'm broken. I'm shattered. I've been through a lot, and I relate to them. We all live in a fallen world. We've all been shattered by sin we've committed and that others have committed and brought harm to us. Parents, mates, friends that you thought were friends, etc. Jesus suffered all these things with the persecutions and the afflictions he suffered, as we can see in the patriarchs and in the apostles, etc., throughout Scripture. that doesn't prevent God's making you whole. Jesus actually came to heal the broken in heart. Isn't that a blessing? Luke 4:18. All right, verse 24. Faithful is he. Let me say this about verse 23 again before we leave. Listen, anything in scripture that you see, dude, that's fair game. Pray it. The word of God is the will of God. Amen. You can't pray anything more securely of God than the scriptures. Amen. I may come up with something that I want to pray for, but I better make sure it's according to scripture. But when you're directly praying scripture that people will be made whole, spiritual and body, and preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus, you are praying the stated will of God. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Proverbs 30 verse 5. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or thoroughly furnished unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All right, let's finish here. Verse 24 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Don't you love that? Reinforcement. God's going to continue the good work he began in you, beloved. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Now, you know, I got to admit, I have not obeyed that. And I think all the brothers around me are saying, amen, don't obey that one. Anyway, that's just, that obviously doesn't mean we have to literally kiss each other. I'm being a little funny here. But anyway, the love of the brethren and the sisters, to love the brethren, to greet one another. Hospitality, scripture speaks of. Verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Amen. It's still being read 2,000 years later. Glory to God for this Holy Spirit inspired epistle that was penned and given to us through the great apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus' apostle. All right, the last verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. All right, saints, amazing chapter. I encourage you to put this on your short list board to read through and to nourish your spirit with. There's so much in it. We just barely scratched the surface. God bless you, saints. Thank you for listening. And we would covet your prayers for the fruitfulness of this outreach, ministry outreach, to feed the flock of God and to reach more and more believers and unbelievers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.